Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks so much for listening. The rest of the hour goes to the Cascades Siskiyou National Monument, that federal space that marks the place where the Cascades and the Siskiyous meet and showcases the biodiversity of the region. The monument spans 114,000 acres on both sides of the state line southeast of Ashland. We'll talk about two subjects involving the monument, the new draft management plan now out for public comment, and a chat about the waterworks within the monument. Those are the subject of a talk and hike offered by the Friends of the Cascades Siskiyou National Monument, with a talk on Friday and a hike on Saturday. John Schuyler is a retired forester who leads those sessions. He joins me in the studio. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
And we also have with us on the phone Colette Strait, who's the executive director of the Friends of the Cascades Siskiyou National Monument. Welcome, Colette.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Good to have you both. And Colette, I'll start with you. It's never a dull moment with the monument, it seems. I mean, first, it has survived another challenge, yes?
Yes, it has. We're delighted by the Supreme Court's decision to not hear the case, in efforts to roll back the expansion that Obama put in place in 2017. So courts at every level now have decided to keep the expansion in place, which we're very happy about.
Do you think this might be the end of the challenges?
I'm not sure. Keeping our fingers crossed over here.
All right. And so, John Schuyler, for you as a longtime forester, what's it been like to watch the monument get designated and then expanded?
It's something that in my career I've seen, as a forester, learn about the laws such as the Antiquities Act and the Reclamation Act and see that those play within the monument. I have to do first a shout out to OLLI, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute here at SOU. And that's what got me interested in preparing and teaching classes on conservation, on water development. And so that's, why I'm here today. I'm going to, be giving a talk, as you mentioned, on Friday night with the walk on Saturday. But also I'm going to teach a larger class on Western water development this fall for OLLI students.
That is a larger class. That could go on for months, if not years.
Yeah, it's a six-week class, 9 hours of material. So I've definitely had to whittle it down for Friday night's talk.
Right. Okay. So Western water development. So give the general shape of the hike and learn series then. So it is like this. You spend a little time on Friday night talking, and then several hours on Saturday showing what you were talking about the night before.
That's right. I've not done this before, so it'll be new to me. And I know that it's at the community center for the co-op. I'll do the talk from 6 to 7:30 Friday night. And I'm going to try to frame it as overall Western water development across the entire West, and then focus in on the monument. And there is some infrastructure for the Rogue River project within the monument. And then on Saturday, go out and walk some trails by Hyatt Reservoir. And talk about how the water is captured and sent down to a generation plant, Green Springs power plant, goes into Immigrant Creek and Immigrant Reservoir, and then into Bear Creek down to the ocean.
And that is a good example of a water diversion, though, because some of that water would end up in the Klamath River without intervention, right?
That's right. The Cascade Divide, the Crest Divide, is pretty soon as you drive up Highway 66 there at Green Springs. And it's kind of fools you that you have this fairly flat tableland of volcanic geology that flows into the Klamath watershed. And so both Hyatt and Howard Prairie and the small Keene Reservoir are all within the Klamath watershed, yet the water is transferred into the Rogue River watershed for irrigation, for farms, for power generation, as I mentioned.
Ultimately down into Emigrant Lake and then down into the irrigation systems in that area.
Right.
And then into Bear Creek eventually, which leads to the Rogue River. John Schuyler is a retired forester, knows about water development in the West. We'll be doing a talk and hike with the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, Friday evening and Saturday during the day. Colette Strait is also with us, the executive director of the Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. And Colette, some things for people to understand here. The monument is not a wilderness, and there are still plenty of islands of private land within it. Are there any requirements for human-built structures to be either modified or removed?
Oh, this is a good question, but I want to correct one thing that John Schuyler said about our Hike and Learn is that on this Friday from 6 to 7:30, it's actually going to be held at the SAU Science Room, in the Science Building, room number 151.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I wanted to make that small correction.
Typically, they're
held at the Ashland Co-op Classroom, but this time it's the Science Room at SAU 151. And, there is a wilderness area inside the monument. It's the Soda Mountain Wilderness. And, yeah, the actual footprint of the monument is 170,000 acres. And within that, there's, you know, almost 50, 60,000 acres of private inholdings still, where people can do, whatever they want, or not whatever what they want, but there's, they just are private land owners within that. But then there's restrictions on the federal land that is actually within the monument. There's no logging allowed, no mining. Cattle grazing is, we're still working on that one. There's still some allotments that are allowed.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to that.
But many have been bought out.
All right, but nothing has to be removed. It's not like, automatically all dams have to come out or anything like that, right?
Oh, no, of course not, mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
We're just really excited to pull back the curtain a bit on how water has been diverted away from the monument and the impact that diversion is having on the ecological integrity and biodiversity of the monument.
So John Schuyler,
wanting people to be more aware of that.
Okay. John Schuyler, if the water had stayed up there, would it be doing different things? Would there be marshy areas up there that don't exist now, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm guessing that where both Howard Prairie and Hyatt Reservoirs are located, you might have some meadow wetlands that would have added to the biodiversity. But, one thing I would mention that those reservoirs actually are an attraction within the monument. You have, water-based recreation, fishing, boating, campgrounds along the lake shores of those. So, in the big picture of things, something was taken away, but something was added.
Well, and it seems like there was a fair amount of sophistication to the work, knowing where to make a water diversion and how to get the diverted water to the next place. It was some pretty good engineering with maybe not the best of tools at the time.
Yeah. The Rogue River Project, I have some data on it. There's seven dams. Two of them are private. Five are Bureau of Reclamation. There's 35,000 acres of irrigated farmland, 16 diversions, one power plant, and 450 miles of canals. So even though it's a relatively small project for the Bureau of Reclamation, it's pretty important for this part of Southwest Oregon.
What do you hope people take away from the talk and hike?
Well, I want people to make their own decisions as to how they feel about Western water development. There's some of the controversial projects I'm going to touch on. Hetch Hetchy Reservoir within Yosemite Park that actually is really the birthplace of modern environmentalism. It was pretty outrageous that happened. Yet I grew up in the Bay Area drinking water from Hetch Hetchy. And they even had a ballot measure in San Francisco where the people voted overwhelmingly to keep the dam. I also worked in my career on the Inyo National Forest in the Eastern Sierra, where the city of Los Angeles, with William Mulholland, basically stole the Owens River. So I like to get into those controversial things. And so in the big picture, our local development, it's pretty benign.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, one of the things that people are out protesting.
All right. That is a talk and hike for for Plumbing the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. The talk is Friday evening at the Southern Oregon University Science Building 151 at 6 p.m. The hike is on Saturday at 9. And where does that meet?
We meet in the parking lot for, I think it's the Rite Aid.
And then, in Ashland.
Yeah, okay. Ashland,
and then, right. in Ashland. And then, carpool, then we'll head up to Hyatt.
Okay.
And we ask people to register, and they can do that and find out about all of our programs on our website at cascadesiskiyou.org.
All right. We have a link to that page at our website at jeffexchange.org, and people can go right there to the register here, click points. So why we have you, Colette, we have the BLM people on after you to talk about the draft resource management plan for the monument.
Yeah.
Out there for comment for two more months. What's the general reaction from the Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument to what's in the draft?
Well, I can't make any substantive comments at this time because we're still in the process of reviewing the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we just hope that the final RMP, or the final resource management plan, focuses on protecting the biodiversity that the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument was created to protect. Our comments will be out probably in the next month. It's a hefty document, and we have partners helping us out, working, you know, or collaborating with us on submitting our comments. So you can find that information out and where we stand on things also on our website.
There are some things you have been asking for consistently outside of the confines of the plan itself. One of the things, you do want the BLM to purchase more land, I guess, for contiguity purposes. I mean, we've been talking for many years about the BLM checkerboard, the way that the lands were first laid out generally in Western Oregon because of the old railroad land grants that that they were first given for. So you can have a section, a square mile section that is BLM and a square mile section that is private. Even the monument boundaries, I was noticing we were talking about Hyatt and Howard Prairie Lakes. A lot of Hyatt Lake is in the monument. Some of it isn't. A little bit of Howard Prairie is, and a lot of it's not. So, I mean, is this one of the major points for the group, is to try to, what we used to call, block up the land ownership?
No, it's not a major point. I mean, of course, we're always supporting additional land acquisition. I think the BLM is fairly active in that. You know, of course, they could do better, but and we support that. But that's not one of the major things that will be, that's not a major point for us. We'll just continue, you know, pushing for that. But we have other bigger concerns.
You mentioned cattle in passing a little while ago, and I do see that what's in your website literature too, that you have some cattle grazing allotments you'd like to get out of the monument.
Yeah, honestly, at this point, I don't feel confident and comfortable commenting publicly on where my organization's coming from in that perspective yet.
Okay. But how about the general feeling, as you about cattle and or roads?
Yeah, I mean, in the proclamation itself, it says that, you know, cattle grazing is allowed unless it's found to damage habitats and be a threat to biodiversity. And there were studies that were done early on in the establishment of the monument, many of them, I think at least eight or dozen, that show that cattle grazing is harmful to the biodiversity, especially in sensitive habitats. So, and we are here for the protection, conservation, and restoration of the monument and the protection of biodiversity and the habitats that they rely on.
When you think about the monument generally, then, I mean, what's your general sense of state of the monument? I mean, when you talk about the protection and enhancement, I mean, how much enhancement is needed versus is it in pretty good shape now?
You know, it has been, since it's been established, it has been chronically underfunded and understaffed and by the BLM, and it needs a lot of TLC, you know, a lot of restoration work. There's been a lot already done, but it could use a lot more. The resource management plan from 2008, you know, we were pretty happy with that. It put a lot of time and effort into creating a decent management plan, but much of it has not been implemented. And I'm frankly worried that, you know, all this time and money and effort is going into another management plan, this revision. And if it gets to a place where we're, you know, excited about and feel good about, we're afraid that there's still going to be the problem of, like, the chronic underfunding and understaffing.
Do you have the ears of anybody in Congress who's particularly interested in funding that? I'm going to just take a wild guess that Cliff Bentz is not really disposed to feeling generous toward the monument.
Yeah, no, not so much, but we do have some, you know, really important advocates like Senator Jeff Merkley, Wyden, I'm spacing on names, but, you know, we have, like, really amazing people, too, like, advocating for protection of the monument, so we're in good hands.
When do you anticipate the Friends finishing the review of the document and coming out with your position on what you see in the RMP, the Resource Management Plan?
I imagine that we're probably going to take another, like, you know, month and a half.
Okay, and comments are taken until July 5th, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And there's information, you know, the BLM has a website, the two staff people you'll be talking to coming up, you know, will give people the information that they need where they can access, they can read the draft RMP, they can submit comments. But that information is also on our website at cascadesiskiyou.org.
I did find your website helpful in finding the places on their website, to be honest.
About, Oh, well, great. That's great to hear.
So the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, Friends of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, Colette Strait is the executive director. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
John Schuyler's talk on plumbing the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument Friday, April 26th at Science Building Room 151 in Ashland at SOU at 6 p.m. Saturday hike, meet in the Rad Aid parking lot. Please register first. John Schuyler, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange, too.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Short break in the exchange. We're back to talk about the management plan in just a bit.